Welcome to Canada's National Bible Hour, a ministry of Mission Go. I'm Brian Albrecht, the President Emeritus and Director of Canada's National Bible Hour. We are thrilled to have you with us today as we embark on a journey to reach the world for Jesus Christ. Canada's National Bible Hour is one of our key ministries dedicated to sharing the transformative and uplifting message of the gospel far and wide. Each week, we provide inspiring teachings, uplifting stories, and heartfelt prayers that connect you with the profound truths of Scripture. Our mission is to spread hope, love, and faith, and we invite you to join us in this vital endeavor as we seek to impact lives across the globe. Thank you for tuning in, and together, let us celebrate the good news of Jesus Christ. Today, our scripture is taken from Psalm 46, verses 10 and 11, which say, "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The Lord God of Jacob is our refuge." Here we have two parts. We have this great God that says to be still. We should be quiet. I know in my own life that the best times that I have with the Lord is when I'm in by myself in a quiet place where I can meditate upon His word and where I can pray. And it says, "Be still and know that I am God." And we can do this in that quiet place. But it goes on to tell us that He will be exalted among all the nations. He will be exalted over the whole earth. This is the Creator we're talking about. This is the all-powerful God who can do anything He wants to do. And He can change anything He wants to change. And it says He will be exalted. He will be glorified. He will be worshiped throughout the whole world. But then it also says the Lord of hosts is with us. God loves each and every one of us, and it's possible to have a personal relationship with this great Creator God, this great powerful God. We can have this personal relationship. We can walk with Him. We can sense His presence. We can know His will. We can do His work. We can sense His presence. We can allow Him to work through us, and we can see fruit for our labor. What a great God we have, and we need to worship Him and exalt Him and adore Him and love Him.
This month's Mission Moment highlights a powerful and often unseen ministry among the AKA Pygmy people through the Leukemia Center, where compassionate medical care and the hope of the gospel come together in one vital outreach. This work matters because it serves men, women, and children who live deep in the forest, far from basic health care, and who are still suffering from serious tropical diseases like leprosy that most of the world has forgotten. Listeners need to understand that this is not just about treating illness. It is about restoring dignity, protecting families, and opening doors for the message of Jesus to be heard where it has rarely been clearly shared. As they hear these stories, they are invited to pray, to care, and to consider how their regular support can quite literally keep this lifeline of healing and hope alive while sharing the gospel and reaching one of the most vulnerable, unreached groups in our generation. One of the most strategic investments in the ministry among the AKA Pygmies is not only buildings or equipment, it is people. The future of this outreach depends on trained local believers, nurses, health workers, and ministry leaders who understand the language, the culture, and the spiritual battles of the forest. That is why one of the key needs of the Leukemia Center is to train and equip local staff and community health workers. When a local health worker from the AKA community learns to recognize the early signs of leprosy or other tropical diseases, they become the first line of defense. They can quickly identify problems, guide patients to the leukemia center, and help them stay on their treatment plan. When that same person is also equipped as a follower of Jesus, they can share the gospel in ways that are natural and deeply trusted. Health and hope begin to spread from within the community itself.
This kind of training does not happen by accident. It takes time as well as teaching, mentoring, and resources. It involves workshops, simple textbooks or visual tools, practice in real-life situations, and ongoing spiritual discipleship. It may also include supporting local staff with modest salaries or stipends so they can serve faithfully without abandoning their own family's needs. Every trained worker is like a lighthouse in the forest, someone who carries both healing knowledge and the good news of Christ. Your monthly support can help fund this training and staffing project. A regular gift helps provide the materials, training sessions, and support needed to build strong local teams. You may never meet these workers face to face, but God can use your faithfulness to multiply their impact across many villages and families. Will you pray that God would raise more laborers for this harvest field?
And will you consider a monthly pledge specifically toward training and staffing, so that this ministry will not depend only on visiting teams, but on a growing movement of local Christ-centered caregivers? This month, we would like to make available a booklet called Prayer is the Answer by Bounds, Andrew Murray and John Wesley. This is a popular devotional book that compiles writings from these three Christian teachers, highlighting prayer as the essential, powerful, and transformative key to a Christian life, with Wesley famously stating, "God often does nothing without being asked," Murray emphasizing God's desire to bless through intercession, and Bounds detailing prayer's vital role in spiritual power and daily living.
To order your copy of the booklet, please write to Canada's National Bible Hour, Postal Box 1210, St. Catharines, Ontario, postal code L2R7A7 in the United States, Post Office Box 2010, Buffalo, New York, zip code 14231. Thank you for listening to Canada's National Bible Hour. We wish to bless your life with these messages.
This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Won't let Satan blow it out, I'm gonna let it shine. Oh, won't let Satan blow it out, I'm gonna let it shine. Won't let Satan blow it out, I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Hide it under a bushel, no, I'm gonna let it shine. Oh, hide it under a bushel, no, I'm gonna let it shine. Hide it under a bushel, no, I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine.
Oh, let it shine.
Our God is an awesome God, our God is an awesome God. The sleazy wasn't putting on the Ritz.
Our God is an awesome God.
There's thunder in his footsteps, a lightning in his fist.
Our God is an awesome God.
And the Lord wasn't joking when he kicked him out of Eden. It wasn't for no reason that he shed his blood. His return is very soon, and so you better be believing.
Our God is an awesome God.
Yes, we know that he's awesome. And created the light.
Our God is an awesome God.
The judgment and wrath he poured out on Sodom. His mercy and grace he gave us at the cross. I hope that we have not too quickly forgotten that
our God is an awesome God.
Yes, we know that he's awesome.
Today's message is from Reverend George Francisco and is entitled Great Steps. Printed copies are available upon request.
Today I greet you in the name of the Lord Jesus. What a privilege it is to share his word with you again. Now I would like to look at the subject, Great Steps in a Spiritual Journey. And we will take a brief look at the life of the Apostle Paul. Now, God used the Apostle Paul to share the gospel with the then-known world and to write 13 books of the New Testament. And what a great encouragement those books were, not only to the believers of the first century, but to our world as well, since millions are reading the Bible today. I believe it will be helpful and a blessing to examine the various steps of Paul's spiritual journey. Jesus spoke of spiritual growth as taking place in stages. When in the parable of the seed, he referred to the plant that sends forth first the blade, then the ear, then the corn in the ear, thus a gradual progression. Spiritual life also has its steps or stages. In the book of Acts chapter 9, we can see these in the life of St. Paul as he travels from spiritual darkness into the light of Christian experience. By the way, we too must follow similar steps if we are to develop spiritually, so it's important that we know some of these from Acts 9. The first step of Paul's life we note is that he was a rebel. In Acts 9 and 1 it says, "And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem." Here we see Paul as a rebel towards God and towards his people. Now, he was religious, very religious. He was brought up as a Pharisee of the Pharisees, he says, but he did not know the God that he professed to serve. His religious zeal had deceived him. The scriptures reveal that all men are initially spiritual rebels. Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." And Isaiah 53, All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And again in Romans chapter 5, we read, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son. So the scriptures then say that unreconciled man is an enemy of God, even though he's religious, does good works, belongs to a church, performs religious duties. Basically, he is still a spiritual rebel, and that only changes when he comes in repentance and faith to Jesus Christ. Paul was a rebel. The second step we note in Paul's life is found in Acts 9, 3 and 4. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Here we might say he faced confrontation with God. The long arm of God's law has reached out and stopped him in his rebellion. He sees a light brighter than the noonday sun. He comes face to face with the mighty God, the true God. He falls to the earth. He's afraid. Friends, the scriptures say, be sure your sin will find you out. There will surely come a time when we are confronted with the true God and the reality of our sin, and then we will need more than the superficial religious activity that many hide behind, for that will dissolve like the morning mist. We will need a Savior, not a religion. Paul was in total shock. His religion had only deluded him. Although painful, the confrontation was a blessing, for it led to finding spiritual truth. The third step we can notice is in verse 5, and I read, and he, that is Paul, said, who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. Now, here we can see that Paul has become an inquirer. Who art thou, Lord? He asks, and finds himself facing not a set of laws and rituals, but a person, the person of Jesus Christ. Spiritual life is beginning to dawn in his darkened soul. He comes to the place where he honestly asks after the true God and learns that Jesus is the true God, the very one who shamefully was put on that cross and killed. He is indeed the Son of God, resurrected and appearing to Saul in a glory that outshone the noonday sun. Saul had plenty of religion, but he now sees that that is not what he needs. He has sinned against God, and he needs a Savior. Saul acted on that information and received Jesus Christ as his Savior and Lord. Friends, this is where true spiritual life begins, conversion. Titus 3 and 5 says, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. To commemorate his great spiritual birth or beginning, Paul changed his name from the old Hebrew Saul to the Greek Paul that we know. He indicated that his whole life has had a radical change. I wonder if your life today has experienced such a dramatic change. If not, you need to examine yourself and see if you really have the life-giving faith of Christ. The fourth step that we note in Paul's life is found in verse 6 of this chapter. Paul, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. Here Paul becomes a disciple or learner and follower of Christ. What wilt thou have me to do? He asks. He is now listening and will obey whatever God asks. And what a blessing his life became, not only to those of his contemporaries, but to us as he fully followed the Lord's leading. He was the first to preach the gospel in Europe. He established Christian churches from which the gospel has passed down to us. And of course, he wrote those 13 epistles to the churches which have today or are today in the pages of the Holy Bible and give spiritual encouragement and nourishment to all those who believe. Paul found a great joy in his life by following Jesus, in spite of many trials. And we will too if we will become real disciples, learners, and followers of Christ. As we read and obey God's word, we will grow in knowledge and in spiritual stature. We will mature from the children stage to sons of God, people who are concerned about what God wants done in this earth, and showing forth his love by carrying his word to all people everywhere. Then the fifth stage of Paul's life is indicated in verse 11, when God spoke to a disciple named Ananias and told him to seek out Paul, for it says, "Behold, he prayeth." Paul now becomes a worshiper. He doesn't just say prayers repetitiously as he did before, but he prays with sincerity. He prays with knowledge. He prays for spiritual light, and his prayers were answered. He now knows the true God and can enjoy fellowship with him. Friends, we too need to become worshipers, taking time to read God's word, taking time to pray for ourselves, our families, and our communities. We need to take time to share the blessing of God's house with other believers. In John's gospel, the Lord Jesus talked to a woman of Samaria. In chapter 4, he tells her that the Father is spirit, and true worshipers must worship him in spirit. For verse 23 says, "The Father seeketh such to worship him." Now think of it. God, the holy God, seeking our worship. He is pleased when we receive his Son as Savior and then enter into his presence just to talk with him and to spend time with him, learning of his greatness and goodness. We worship God truly only when we have been born of his Spirit and come into his presence in the joy and thrill of that newfound relationship. I once read of a young lady who was given a certain book to read, but she soon laid it aside because it was too uninteresting. She was later invited to a social occasion where she met a young man who became quite interested in her, and they began dating. She fell in love with him, and he with her, and then was dumbfounded to learn that he was the author of the very book that she had found uninteresting. At the first opportunity, she went back and opened that book again, and now she found it delightful and pleasing. Why the change? Well, she now knew and loved the author. Brethren, the Bible is God's word, and it will become a delight to us when we get to love the author. We need to cherish the word of God and open its pages, because in Christ we have come to know and to love that God. God's word is to the soul what milk and meat is to the body. Let us then desire the sincere milk of the word, that we may grow thereby. 1 Peter 2 and 2. The final step we want to look at is in verse 20, and straightway Paul preached Christ in the synagogues that he is the Son of God. Paul now becomes a witness for the Lord. Witnessing simply means telling what you know of Christ the best way you can, and that's important. Romans 10 and 9 says, "If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." Witnessing or sharing your faith is important. It confirms your faith to your own spirit. It confirms your faith to that boss that was Satan who once ruled in your life. And it confirms your commitment to Christ and to others all around you. We are called to be workers together with God, and we further his work in this world by joyfully sharing our faith with others. Often the simplest witness is very powerful. In John 4 again, when Jesus met the Samaritan woman, we find that she believed in Christ, went back to the city, and simply told her friends these words, "Come, see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ?" Verse 29. As a result of those simple words, the scripture says in verse 39, "And many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him for the saying of the woman, who testified, 'He told me all that ever I did.'" Wouldn't it be great if all God's people would tell simply and joyously of their encounter with the living Christ? What a change it could bring to this world that desperately needs to hear the good news of the gospel. Paul says in Romans 10:10, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Friends, that's the gospel. But Paul continues, "How shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? How shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher?" If people who know the gospel don't share it, how will a lost world ever come to Christ? If Christian believers won't tell of the gospel, who else will? In Canada, we were once called a Christian nation, but now much less than 10% of our population, it is said, are evangelical believers. In many countries of the world, the figure is far smaller still. What an opportunity the church has of this day to share the glorious message of salvation in Christ. The Apostle Paul traveled throughout the world of his day, sharing the gospel. What an example of witnessing he is to us. But some may say, "Well, I'm not a preacher." And of course they have in mind like Paul or a Dr. Billy Graham or others who have reached thousands for Christ. But I ask, was a Samaritan woman a preacher? Well, yes and no. She was not a full-time minister, of course, but she did share her faith in a small yet powerful way, and God blessed it. And other Samaritans came to Jesus as a result. Paul, too, often preached to crowds as well as individuals, and great throngs in Jerusalem, or the Philippian jailer, or the Roman guards that he was imprisoned with. He shared the gospel everywhere he could. Brethren, we need to do the same. May God help us to do it.
We at Mission Go pray. This message will change your life and challenge you to seek a deeper understanding of our Lord Jesus Christ. Take the time to read a couple of verses from the Bible in the book of Burr, Matthew 11:28-29. Jesus says, "Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy with burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you will find rest unto your souls." This month, we would like to make available a booklet called Prayer is the Answer by Bounds. Andrew Murray and John Wesley is a popular devotional book that compiles writings from these three influential Christian figures, highlighting prayer as the essential, powerful, and transformative key to a Christian life, with Wesley famously stating, "God often does nothing without being asked," Murray emphasizing God's desire to bless through intercession, and Bounds detailing prayer's vital role in spiritual power and daily living. To order your copy of the booklet, please write to Canada's National Bible Hour, P.O. Box 1210, St. Catharines, Ontario, postal code L2R7A7 in the United States, Post Office Box 2010, Buffalo, New York, zip code 14231. This is a listener-supported program, and we would not be on the air without the support of our listeners. For any further questions about messages or information on this broadcast, you can email Tammy Campbell at tjcampbell@missiongo.org.